Okay, welcome to the Shiur Maral Gurari Parshas Vayelech. Wanted to see a Maral, maybe two, depending on the time. First on Parshas Vayelech, and then Vayelech happens to be a short Parsha, and the Marals themselves are very short. So then I wanted to see just a comment that the Maral has to say for Netzach Yisrael on the whole concept of Tzom Gedalia, which seems like a relevant thing given the fact that it's Tzom Gedalia. So in the beginning of Parshas Vayelech, Vayomer Aleihem Perek Lamed Aleph Pasuk Beis, Moshe says to Klal Yisrael, Ben Mea Ve'esem Shana Anochi Hayom, I am 120 years old today. And Rashi comments on that statement, Anochi Hayom, Hayom Malu Yomai Ushinosai. Today, my years, my appointed time on earth has been filled, has come to an end, but also has come to a proper end. In other words, Malu Yomai Ushinosai implies not only is it over, but in other words, it's complete. I've completed my mission. I've completed the allotted time that was given to me. And biyomze noladati, biyomze almus. In other words, everything comes circle, full circle. I was born on this day 120 years ago, and there's significance in the fact that, says Moshe Rabbeinu, I'm passing away on this day. We know Rashi doesn't quote in exactly this lashon, but the Gemara tells us in Rosh Hashanah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu memale yemei mishnoseihem shel tzadikim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu deliberately has tzadikim, you have to say, I think, very often, right? It doesn't happen all the time, but very often HaKadosh Baruch Hu causes tzadikim to be born and die on the same day to symbolically represent that there's a certain completion, that they accomplished what they were supposed to accomplish. There was a complete unit. Everything was done the way it was supposed to be done. And that the Maral asked the following question on this Rashi. The implication of Rashi, as we said before, is that the years of Moshe Rabbeinu were filled up to capacity, meaning, in other words, he had lived exactly the amount of time that he was allotted to live. He did not depart the world prematurely. Everything was mole, everything was filled up, the way it had been predestined from his very birth. Well, Parshas Pinchas Kostav, but if you look in Rashi in Parshas Pinchas, Sefer Bamidbar, Perichov Zayin, Pasuk Yud Gimel, so there Rashi writes, She'im lo hayochet meriva, lo higiyas manam liptor. Right, that, again, as we know, Moshe Rabbeinu was condemned to death because of the sin of Mei Meriva, whatever that sin was exactly. And Rashi says specifically that, essentially, Moshe died prematurely. Moshe would have kept going. He would have kept living had it not been for the sin of Mei Meriva. So says the Maral, and as is so often the case, the Maral's kasha here is echoing a kasha that the Mizrahi already asked on Rashi. Make up your mind. Is Moshe Rabbeinu passing away at the allotted time that he was given on this earth, 120 years, day to day? He lived out exactly the amount of time that was allotted to him. Or as Rashi and Parshas Pinchas would seem to suggest, was Moshe Rabbeinu taken away prematurely? Maybe the plan really was for Moshe Rabbeinu to live a longer period of time, and the Chet Mei Meriva caused him to be taken away earlier. So the Yesh Lomar, so the Maral answers as follows. One can say as follows: Shelo Igias Manim Liftor, Delefi Godel Schus Shelohem Hayoroi Lehem Chayim Yose. Ach b'shvil chet hameriva lo nitan lohem chayim yoseh ach hoyu shleimim. You have to try to unpack what the Maral is saying over here, but the mouse seems like he's saying the following. The years of Moshe Rabbeinu were complete. Moshe Rabbeinu was allotted 120 years by Shamayim at the very beginning of his life. In that sense, the years that he was given were shleimim, they were complete. Rabbi Hartman over here quotes the corresponding Maral in Parshas Pinchas, who explains it a little bit more. Says Malu Yomav Ushnosav Masheroy Lios Chios Lefi Tivo. There's something called teva. you know, the natural amount of time that Moshe Rabbeinu should have lived. Again, whether that means from a physical perspective, you know, what his physiology was capable of, you know, the extent to which physiologically he was capable of living, or, you know, whether that means in terms of the divine decree, you know, he was allotted 120 years. That was the shleimus, that was the fullness of the life of Moshe Rabbeinu. However, you can exceed the amount of time that you're allotted. It doesn't have to stop there. The allotment is given to you b'teva. That's what nature decrees that you're supposed to live. Had Moshe Rabbeinu not sinned at Mei Meriva, so he could have kept going beyond the teva. Again, to quote the Maral in Parashas Pinchas, Lo malu yomavu shnosov, mashiroi lios lefit sidkosov. His tzidkus was such, his righteousness was such, that had it not been for the sin of Mei Meriva, he would have been granted the opportunity to go beyond what teva itself, what nature itself dictated. Right? So, yeah, on the one hand, the natural allotment that was given to him had been completed, but he could have gone into overtime, you know, so to speak, had it not been for the sin of Mei Meriva that held him back from going into that extra amount of time. Maral then answers another answer, which to my mind, it's not exactly the same thing. Clearly Maral didn't think it was the same thing because he presents it as a different answer, but it's certainly very, very similar. He says as follows, Ki hayom malu yomov. One can say that on this day, on the 120th birthday of Moshe Rabbeinu, his days came to an end. She'im hayameis kodem lochein hayalo kitzer yomim. Had Moshe Rabbeinu passed away before the 120 days, he would have died, so to speak, prematurely. It would have been kitzer yomim. His allotted days would have been not filled. Nonetheless, Moshe Rabbeinu in theory could have lived beyond the point of 120 years were it not for the sin of Mei Meriva. It's just that once he got to 120 years, it was no longer called dying prematurely. The way Rabbi Hartman presents this in his notes is Nimsa imken gimel dargus. There are three ways to characterize the longevity of a person. There's something called kitzer yomim, dying before one's allotted time. In Moshe Rabbeinu's case, that would have been before 120 years. Miloy yomim, right? Filling out one's days, living the amount of time that one is allotted to live. Arichus yomim, and length of days. Right? We wish people arichus yomim all the time. Right? So arichus yomim, the way Rabbi Hartman understands the Maral, arichus yomim means not just that you live a long time. Arichus yomim means you live beyond the amount of time that was allotted to you on a fundamental level. Every person comes into the world with a certain amount, allotted amount of time. That's their, you know, their ticket entitles them to be here on this world for X amount of years. But you can either get thrown out early, or if you, you know, you have a good relationship with the one running the show, the Ribono Shel Olam, he can comp you some extra time beyond what your ticket entitles you to. It's a very fascinating idea that Maral is putting out here, and I think it addresses a question. My daughter asked me this question. It's a good question. It's a question about the very Unasana Tokef, which we said just over the past 2 days, with such hislavos, with such enthusiasm over Rosh Hashanah. So we're told in the Unasana Tokef, right? Rosh Hashanah Yikosevun, Yom Som Kippur Yechosemun, Kamo Yavron, Kamo Yibareon, Mi Yichya, Mi Yomos, Mi Bekitso, Mi Lo Bekitso. Who's going to die at his allotted time? Who's going to die not at his allotted time? Just very simply, what does that mean? Right? If the person passes away at such and such a time, so Igloy Milso, so it turns out that that's Kitso, that's his end. Right? In other words, what does it mean to die? Not at one's end. You know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. He decides when a person is going to die. HaKadosh Baruch Hu may again, the term reevaluate is not relevant to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but in human terms, HaKadosh Baruch Hu may reevaluate based on changes in the human dynamic and change when the kate of a person is, when a person's end is. But whenever a person dies, that's, you would think, by definition, kitzo. That's his end. So what do you mean, me lo bekitzo? You know, who's going to die not at their end? How can you die not at the end? By definition, death is the end. My daughter asked me this kasha. So I think going to the Maharal, you could answer as follows. The kate, the end of the person, which the Payet, which Masana Tokef is speaking about, is analogous to what Rabbi Hartman over here refers to as Milui Yamin, as the person was given a certain basic allotment of time to be here on this earth, right? In the case of Moshe Rabbeinu, that was 120 years. And that's the case, that's the end of a person. Who's going to make it to the allotted amount of time? Conversely, me lo bekitzo. There are some people who are either going to fall short of the allotted amount of time. Again, what the Rabbi Hartman over here refers to, using the terminology of the Maharal, as kitzur yamim, as going before the allotted amount of time comes. Or alternatively, there's arichus yamim. I mean, the Nesana Tokef doesn't have to be as depressing as it seems to be on first glance. Lo bekitzo, a person dying not at the right time, could mean that they live beyond the allotted amount of time that they're given. Let's say in the case of Moshe Rabbeinu, 120 years, and Rashi and Parshas Pinchas indicates that in theory, had the Chet Mei Meriva not taken place, the Moshe Rabbeinu could have exceeded those 120 years. We'd have to change all the expressions, right? I mean, we couldn't wish somebody anymore. This 120, we'd have to come up with some other nomenclature, I guess, but Arichus Yamim could have taken Moshe Rabbeinu beyond the 120 years. That's also L'chora Lo Bekitzo. Who's going to pass away not at the appointed time, in a good sense, that the person will be Zochet to have Arichus Yamim above and beyond the allotted time.
Because Moshe Rabbeinu's time was taken away in terms of the expected number of years, and Moshe Rabbeinu is the kind of tzaddik that lived his potential to the fullest, he somehow managed to change the strategy so that he filled his life in the new time that he was given.
Right, so you want to suggest that, in other words, really with the Chet Mei Meriva, he should have had, let's say, for argument's sake, were it not for that, 125 years. And somehow the godless of Moshe Rabbeinu, he's stuffed into 120 years, 125 years worth of achievement.
Yeah, because he knew
Right. Okay, maybe you could say like that. Okay, so that's in terms of Parshas Vayelech. Actually, I just want to call our attention to one very short Maharal. They're all very short Maharals, but one very short Maharal, which is just, I think, important just in terms of laying the Sedra, understanding the Sedra. So, at the end of the Sedra, Lamed Aleph Chaf Beis, it says, Vayichtov Moshe Es HaTorah Hazos Bayom Ahu. One second. Sorry, a little bit earlier. Pasuk test. Vayichtov Moshe Es HaTorah Hazos Vayitno LaKohanim B'nei Levi. Moshe Rabbeinu wrote down this Torah and he gave it to the Kohanim. So Rashi writes, "Kishenigmara kula nasna levnei shivto." Rashi just points out something which maybe is poshut, but it's important to point out. Moshe Rabbeinu did not write down the entire Torah at this juncture in the narrative. Why? I mean, by definition, the Torah isn't done yet. Right? I mean, we have the rest of Parshas Vayelech, we have Parshas Hazino, we have Parshas Rizos Abrocha. So in other words, Moshe Rabbeinu wrote down the Torah later, after everything was finished, after he finished Vayelech Hazinu B'Zos HaBrach, and then gave it to the Bnei Levi. And the Gur Aryeh comments on this Rashi, that Rashi is invoking over here the principle of Ein Mukdam U'Me'ucher B'Torah. You know, not everything in Torah is written in chronological order. And here's a prime example where you have to say that. You know, there is a machlokas in general between the Rishonim, how loosely we can invoke the idea of Ein Mukdam U'Me'ucher B'Torah. You know, the Ramban writes that you know, one does so very, very sparingly. And, you know, unless you have evidence to the contrary, we have to assume that everything in Torah is in chronological order. But here, presumably, everyone would have to admit that there's Ein Mukdam U'Me'ucher B'Torah going on over here, because you can't say Moshe Rabbeinu wrote down the entire Torah and gave it to Bnei Levi before the Torah itself has been completed. Okay. I want to share a couple of thoughts, just shifting gears a little bit, from the Maral in his Sefer Netzach Yisrael that talks about Golos and Geula. Towards the end of Perek Ches, the eighth chapter, he talks a little bit about the significance of Tzom Gedalia, and he wonders if there's any conceptual significance to the fact that Tzom Gedalia comes out during the Aseres Yemei Tshuva. Now, obviously, there is a historical connection between Tzom Gedalia and the Aseres Yemei Tshuva. Tzom Gedalia marks the assassination of Gedalia ben Achikam, and that took place, again, depending on which Mefarshim one accepts, either on Gimel Tishrei itself, which we're observing today, or according to some Mefarshim, it took place on Rosh Hashanah. Right? But one way or the other, the reason we observe, you know, it's almost like a klutz kasha. Why do we observe Tzom Gedalia now? Well, because that's when he was murdered, right? But the Maral is asking on a deeper level, okay, but, you know, everything that happens to the world is behashkacha. Why is it that the hashkacha has Gedalia departing this world davka during the Aseres Yemei Tshuva? So says the Maral, the truth is, there is a fundamental connection between Tzom Gedalia and the Aseres Yemei Tshuva, not just historically, but conceptually as well. Shehakol shav el Hashem yisbarach. The nature of Aseres Yemei Tshuva is that everything in this world seeks to reconnect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he writes, Hanishama chozeres el Hashem yisbarach davka ba'aseres yimei tshuva. There's something about this period of time that our neshamos are reconnecting with HaKadosh Baruch Hu during the Aseres Yimei Tshuva. Again, his language is the neshama returns to HaKadosh Baruch Hu during the Aseres Yimei Tshuva. V'hi miskadeshes mikhistus haguf hachomri. And we are able during the Aseres Yimei Tshuva to sanctify our souls and to transcend on some level the body and the physical and material aspects of our mundane existence. We become more spiritual during Aseres Yemei Tshuva, whether we realize it or not, because our neshamos, you know, go up and connect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a very profound way during this period of time. He doesn't quote this the following Maimar Chazal, but I think the Maral's interpretation gives a new spin on this Maimar Chazal. Chazal famously say that Dirshu Hashem Behimotso, seek out Hashem when He is close by, refers to the Aseres Yemei Tshuva. So I think the way we usually think about that is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kavayachol comes into this world during the Aseres Yemei Tshuva to a much greater extent. Right, you know, the Sifrei Chabad in particular talk about the Melech Masada, you know, the king is out of the field, he's accessible. But according to the Maral, maybe the Pshat in Dirshu Hashem B'Imotso is not so much that HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes into this world and he's more accessible to us in that fashion, but rather, Adarabba, our neshamos are popping up, you know, into the Olam Haruchni, into the spiritual realms, during the Aseres Yemei Tshuva. And in that sense, Dirshu Hashem B'Imotso, Hashem is close by, not necessarily because He came to us, Kaviyocho, but in a certain sense, we went to Him. Our neshamos are reconnecting with HaKadosh Baruch Hu during this period of time of the Aseres Yemei Tshuva. Says the Maral, as a result, it makes sense conceptually that Tzom Gedalia, that the passing of Gedalia ben Achikam takes place davka during the Aseres Yemei Tshuva. Chazal in Gemara Rosh Hashanah, when they speak about the passing of Gedaliah, they describe his death as, first of all, Misas Tzadikim. Gedaliah is considered to be a tremendous tzaddik. And the passing of a tzaddik from this world, says the Gemara, is even greater than Sreifas Beis Elokeinu, than the burning of the Beis HaMikdash. In other words, that you know, that we observe a fast day on the passing of a tzaddik from this world, you know, much the same way that we observe a fast day on the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. When a tzaddik passes from this world, says the Maral, essentially his neshama is breaking forth from the physical bonds which surround that person, and the neshama is going straight up back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In a limited way, all of us are doing that during the Aseres Yemei Teshuva, says the Maral. Obviously, in a limited way. If it was in a, you know, if it was in the fullest sense of the term, it would be a one-way ticket. We'd go, we wouldn't come back. But in a limited way, you know, we're all doing what Gedaliah ben Achikam did in a much more dramatic way, a much more drastic way, during the Aseres Yemei Teshuva. His neshama departed his body and connected with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the ultimate sense of the term, but on a much lesser level, all of our neshamos are constantly leaping up towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu during the Aseres Yemei Teshuva. You know, the theme of Aseres Yemei Teshuva and the theme of the Tzom Gedaliah ben Achikam are really linked, says the Maral, in that way. And then he adds the following: V'dat kohayu b'yom gimel l'tishrei. Yeah, 100%. Right. Well, no, the Maral is not suggesting that he's dying a natural death, because he didn't, right? But the point is that
it's a little stretch to talk about people dying, you know, spiritual death, when we're comparing it to, not only was he murdered, there were 80 other people murdered.
Right.
Not the same day, day later, whatever.
Right, but why should being murdered take away from this notion that the tzaddik who departs this world, you know, is able to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? I mean, certainly one thinks of the various martyrs throughout Jewish history, and, you know, if anything, you know, the martyrdom in some ways can enhance their ability, not that we're wishing it on anybody, but the martyrdom enhances their ability.
Literally murdered. He was just stabbed in the back.
He didn't
do it for Kiddush
Hashem. He was murdered. Right. Okay. No. But it's important to note that in terms of martyrdom as well. Halachically, if a person is martyred, whether they choose to do so or not, you know, whether they're martyred against their will or not, you know, that has the halachos of martyrdom that apply to the person and has the you know, the impact on their neshama. A guy is dragged off and killed for being Jewish, kicking and screaming, I don't, you know, no, I'll convert. They kill him for being Jewish, he dies al-Kiddush Hashem. I mean, that has halachic ramifications as well.
That's different in this case, too.
Yeah, no, the only point that I'm making, though, is that, you know, the fact that he's murdered doesn't necessarily take away from the, you know, the point that the Maral is making. So he makes the following point, I'll just end with this. The Davka Hoya B'Yom Gimel L'Tishrei. The Maral assumes that the murder of Gedaliah ben Achikam took place on the 3rd of Tishrei. Again, not like those Mefarshim say that it took place on Rosh Hashanah. The Dafka took place on the 3rd of Tishrei, which we're observing today. Halohu ador shebe'aru kama pa'amim ki ashlishim yuchad l'ktusha. You should know there's something special about the 3rd, whenever it comes to issues of Kedusha, right? There are 3 avos. You know, the Gemara says about Matan Torah that there's so many threes that are associated with Matan Torah that makes it special. It's not by accident that Gimel Tishrei of all days is associated with the passing of Gedaliah ben Achikam. That also speaks to the Kedusha that was involved in his passing. Again, I just want to Shelley's point from before, you know, we're not, you know, it's, yeah.
The reason we really celebrate Tzom Gedaliah because that culminated the Korban, that because of because he died, and I think the whatever, the Babylonians or the Assyrians, whatever, came in and finished the job and finished destroying Yerushalayim. And so we're and Israel was dispersed
in the 30 seconds, let me just try to adjust that, then we'll say Kaddish and Daven Ma'ariv. If you look in the Rambam says exactly that. The Rambam writes that the reason we mark some Gedalia is because, as the Rambam puts it, the last ember of Jewish life in Eretz Yisrael was destroyed with the assassination of Gedalia. Interestingly, though, no, that's not what the Gemara says. And you have to figure out how the Rambam and the Gemara, you know, how the Rambam works together with the Gemara. The Rambam was, you know, we can rest assured the Rambam was familiar with the Gemara. But, you know, the Maral is really working with the Gemara. The Gemara says that the significance of observing Tzom Gedalia is to recognize the power of Misas Tzadik and the greatness of when a Tzadik passes from the world, divorced from the political situation, which, you know, again, was clearly part of the story. So that the Maral is really working off the Gemara, you know, in the various ideas that he's presenting over here. Because we should be zochet to do tshuva. That's the main thing.